Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 21. Let's have a word of prayer. Our dearly Father, we do thank you that we can call you our Heavenly Father. Lord, we're thankful, dear Lord, and as we've just mentioned a few things about fathers. And Lord, not only just fathers, but men in general need to take a responsibility of being the head of their part, dear Lord. They may not be married, they may not have a relationship, but dear Lord, they need to take that responsibility. And the only Father, as we mentioned, you is our Heavenly Father. Lord, we're so thankful that we recognize that, dear Lord. And dear Lord, as a father, is someone that protects, someone that provides, someone that takes care of, someone that is a strong structure, dearly Father. And Lord, we're thankful that we can say that about our Heavenly Father. Lord, you've always been there. You've been faithful. You've guided us. You've directed us, dear Lord. You provided for us, Heavenly Father. Lord, the Word of God teaches us that we don't have to have all the wants of life, but, dear Lord, you provide our needs, dear Lord, and we're so thankful for that. And, dear Lord, we ask you to be with each and every one of us, dear Heavenly Father, the Lord, to just look to you in a special way, dear Lord, to fill our place and mankind's place, dear Lord, whether we're a father, whether we're a mother, whether we're a child. Dear Lord, the Bible says that children are to obey their mother and father, for this is right, dear Lord. They're to be good children in the home, dear Heavenly Father. Parents are to be good parents in the home, dear Lord. So, dear Heavenly Father, you have a perfect order, dear Heavenly Father. And, Lord, we ask you to help us to recognize that, dear Lord, not only just in the human sense, dear Lord, but in the spiritual sense, dear Heavenly Father. So we ask you to bless us in a very special way. We are thankful for the Word, dear Lord. We're thankful for how you've referred those things to us, dear Lord, and helped us to recognize these things, dear Heavenly Father. So, Lord, we ask you to bless us as we look into the Word this morning, dear Heavenly Father. We ask you to anoint the Word, anoint me that I'll bring it as you would have us to. And, dear Lord, help us, as we always mention, dear Lord, there are so many spiritual insights, dear Lord, as we preach, dear Heavenly Father. There may be some things that I may have on my mind, the intent of the message, but dear Lord, the Spirit of God can help each and every one of us to see something maybe a little different that can be a blessing to us, dear Lord. So go with us this morning, each and every soul, dear Lord, that will receive the Word to our hearts and our souls and our minds, dear Lord, that we may grow and be a blessing to you, dear Lord. So we ask you to bless this service. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 21, and we are going to pick up in verse 42. Jesus said unto them, "Did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builder rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringeth forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him into powder." And when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard this parable, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. We're not going to go all the way back, but Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees here and chief priests and the elders and all, and you can go back to verse 23, all the way in the same chapter. We'll just touch on that just a moment here. And it says, "And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching, and saying, By what authority dost thou these things, and who gave thee this authority?" Many times we see that the Pharisees, the chief priests, and different ones, and the elders, they always questioned Jesus many times. They always tried to pinpoint him on some things and try to find something to convict him of, or of course later on in crucifying him as they did. But they asked him a question: by what authority do you have? As we read in verse 23, the elders and the chief priests, they came, by what authority dost thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? You know, it's amazing, men and women also, how it affects them with power. Some people desire power. Some people long for power. Sister Ann mentioned her dad desired to know what influence and how he looked at in the community. Some people go in the business world and they want that power. They want that authority. And it doesn't matter of what position you hold. We can look in the military part of things. They have ranks and power. They have generals and majors and captains and lieutenants. All and they're higher powers and they're higher authorities. And no doubt there's many a times if you're a lesser of the one, there's always animosity towards someone just because they have a greater rank than you. Not that you have anything personally against them, but because you have that about you, I want to be better than someone else. Well, and the same thing with the Pharisees and the chief priests and the scribes and all these ones, they were a jealous set of people. They had the authority. They were the chief priests. They were the ones that worked in the temple. They were the ones that went into the second room, the holiest of holy, and they worked there. They had the authority. They had the influence or whatever, the respect somewhat, I would say, of the people. People honored them. People looked at them, and they liked that. They ate that up. And here comes Jesus through there, and he's teaching and he's preaching. Of course, he's healing. He's doing many things. And he gained popularity because of these things. And people were somewhat, in a sense, not following after the chief priests and the elders, but they were following after Christ. And it made them jealous. Instead of them following Christ, instead of them recognizing that he was the Son of God, that he is the Christ, that he is what my main thought here this morning, that chief cornerstone, that he's the one that we need to stay with and line up with. Instead of them doing that, they got jealous. And he says there in verse 23, so they asked the question, who gave you this authority? By what authority dost thou these things, and who gave you this authority? Jesus, through the remainder of the chapter down through there, we're not going to read them all. I'll touch a little bit about it here. And Jesus gave them some things, some parables. Some we look at the parables of the two sons and the husbandman. The one that took care of the vineyard and all. And I want you to remember what they said at the very end here, at the very end of this chapter that we read there in verse 45. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard these parables that Jesus was saying, they said they perceived that he spoke about us. They had an understanding. They had a knowledge. And Jesus started to tell them as they had this this question, who gave you this authority there? And he goes on down through there and he talks about the two sons. And we'll talk about a little bit more in depth here in a little bit. But he asked me, he says, a man had two sons. And he says to the one son, go and work in my field. And the one son says, I will. And he says to the other son, go work in my field. And that son says he wouldn't. But the one that said he will, he never did. And the one that said he wouldn't, he ended up repenting and going working in the field. Then he goes on later on about the one that took care of the grapes and the vines and the fruit of things. And the one, the owner of that harvest there, he sent some men to go in and collect the fruit thereof. But the husbandman, the one that was taking care of the fields, the one that the owner hired to take care of the fields and the fruit and everything, when those ones that came in to collect the fruit, he says, we'll kill them and we'll take ownership of it. And that's what they did. They killed them. And later on, the owner sent some more. They killed them also. And he said, what I'll do, I'll send my very own son in there and they'll have respect for him and they'll honor him. But they didn't. They killed their son also. We'll get into the rest of the thoughts later on. But Jesus went on and was explaining some things to them.
And many times we have to be very careful in the preaching of the word. We need to be very careful. As I've said so many times, and even in my prayer, God gave me this thought a little bit this morning. Even in my prayer, God has helped me to recognize some things that I can preach the word. I can bring a particular topic and a particular subject in a particular direction. But God can use something else and deal with your heart and soul. But you have to have a desire to have an open mind. Lord, teach me. Lord, I need the word of God. So Jesus goes on down through this chapter, and he quotes some of the Old Testament. We're not going to go back over there because what he quoted, we were going to read to you here in the chapter here. But he quoted back in, he made the quote from Psalms chapter 118, verse 22 and 23, but he quotes it here in verse 42. And he says in verse 42 here, "And Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scripture," which is what he's referring to back in Psalms 118. "Did you never read in the scripture, the stone which the builder rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes." Verse 45, and there he says, "The chief priests and the Pharisees and the elders, they perceived." He's talking about us. He's talking about us. Did you know the stone that the builders, who were the builders? The chief priests, the Pharisees, the elders, those ones, you and I, we're builders. God saves our soul and he puts us on a path to start building on the things of Christ, not only in our own lives, but out there in the world. The builders, ministers, pastors, they rejected the stone that God placed in. And that stone has become the head of the corner. This is marvelous in the Lord's eyes. Does the word of God speak to you? Does the word of God speak to you? How many times do you come to church and you leave and you say, "I never got anything from the service"? If that were to be your testimony, you need to go home and pray.
Amen.
Because like I said, God has already relieved me of that many, many years ago. And still I even struggle with it sometimes today. Lord, we want to see, but it's not just me, other ministers. We want to see God's work done. We want to see the moving of God. But God says, Jesus walked this earth and Jesus preached and they rejected him. He says, they didn't reject you. They're going to reject your word. They're going to reject my word, Jesus says. So as we preach the word, and the Spirit of God is very faithful to deliver it to our hearts and our souls and our minds, we need to leave here, I would say almost every service, we need to leave here with something, some type of a nugget we can take that will be a blessing to us. Does the word of God speak to you? Many times I've heard mentioned people say, "He's talked to me. He's talked to me through the message." I've heard this many times that sometimes people say the message, almost God personalized the message just for me. I can't tell you how many times somebody has, again, back up and said a little bit ago, somebody has came to me after a service and revivals, camp meetings here or whatever, and they said, "Brother Doug, a particular thought you said in the message, God just blessed it in my heart and as an encouragement to me, and we parted or whatever, and thank the Lord for that. And I went away and I thought about the message and that part that they're saying, and in my mind, and my message outline here, I really wasn't catering to that particular thought, but God took it and used it." See, just because I don't preach on something, God can still take and use it. God can still deal with our hearts and our minds and cater to us personally. What are we doing? Are we listening for the word of God? The chief priests and the elders here, they said, he's talking about us. From verse 23, and I didn't go back further, probably could have gone back, but from verse 23 all the way down to verse 45, they said to themselves, he's talking about us. He didn't directly say, "You're doing this or you're doing that." But the sad part about this, and the sad part, and one of the blessings of things, the sad part about this, they didn't repent. See, the man that told his son to go work in my field, and he said, "I'm not going to go work in your field," but later came and repented. They don't repent. But when the Word of God comes to us and we come to a place to realize God's speaking to my heart, God's dealing with my heart, I need to repent. I need to come to God. I thank God when I got saved, that was what I did. I was like the one son in the parable. I was like the one son, I don't want to go work in the field. I don't want anything to do with that. But later the Lord spoke to my heart and I repented and I went to work, and thank God, it's been a blessing to me. How many people have said, oh yeah, I'll work in the Lord's field, and have never have gone and rejected it?
The chief priest said, he's talking about us. Already mentioned several little bit about the two parables here with the sons. But in verse 31, we'll go back here and look at that. We'll read those a couple of times because I want to look at them a little bit. Verse 28, we'll pick up in verse 28. When Jesus said here, when you think ye, a certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I'll go. I'll go, sir. And he went not. Jesus asked these chief priests and these elders and all, whether of the twain did the will of the Father? They said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Now that's not a big part of my message, but I tell you that's a concerning verse right there. You may sit in church your whole life. You may sit in church your entire life and miss heaven because you refuse to do the will of the Father. And those that are out there that are involved in drugs, involved in prostitution, and involved in terrible crimes, we may come to the place and repent and make heaven their home, and we've sat on the church pew our entire lives and missed it because we failed to do the work of the Father. Many people, and he says here in these two sons, many people, and the Bible teaches us, there are many people that are hearers of the word, but not doers. Now, I'm going to stop here and go a little bit further and back up. As I said to you, my main thought for this morning, and we're going to talk about it here just in a few moments, is verse 42 there, about the chief cornerstone. He says there's a stone which the builder rejected, and that's what we're going to discuss about, that chief cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. And many people will hear the words of God, hear the Spirit of God, hear the Lord, as these men did here. They heard Christ speaking to them. They perceived that he was talking about us, but they still rejected. They failed to go on and accept Jesus Christ and his teaching. So many people do the same. They'll sit under the sound of the gospel, and not only sit under the sound of my preaching or other people's preaching, but they'll sit under the sound of the Spirit of God speaking to their heart, their ears, their heart, and their mind, and they reject it. They're hearers of the word, but not doers. Many will say, as these two men said, these two sons said, I'll follow. But they never do. But a sinner that is in what we sing sometimes, that horrible pit, that miry clay, a sinner that is somewhere so far down, like the son in the hog pen. He left father's house, he went out, there became a famine in the land. Next thing you know, he spent all the money that his father had given him. Now he's in the hog pen, he's eating the husk of the hogs there. He is at the end of his rope. He has nowhere else to go. But he came to himself, thank the Lord. And he says, in my father's house, he says, my father has places that he has servants. They have a nice warm bed to sleep in. They have food to eat. I'm going to go home and I'm going to repent and just make me one of your hired servants. But the father didn't do that. He reinstated him as son. And that's what God does. He makes us a son. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28, picking up in verse 16. Therefore, thus said the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding places. God says here in verse 16, Isaiah says that the Lord says, I will lay a foundation. Thank God for the foundation of Jesus Christ. Thank God for that sure foundation, that positive foundation. God says there in verse 16 there, therefore, behold, I lay in Zion. Zion is God's church. I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone. Jesus Christ is that stone. He told Peter in that time, he goes, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The world cannot prevail against it. I will build this church. I will build this foundation and nothing will allow it to be washed away. A stone. A foundation that God says. And he uses certain words here. He says it's a tried stone. Jesus Christ came and he lived upon this earth and he was perfect in every part. He was perfect in what he said. He was perfect in his correction. He was perfect in his love. He was perfect in whatever sometimes he didn't say. You know, sometimes he didn't say anything. Sometimes they questioned him. He didn't say nothing. He was perfect in those things. He says he's that perfect stone, that tried stone, that precious stone, that cornerstone, a sure foundation. And in verse 17 here, he says, judgment will I also lay to the line and righteous to the plummet. You know, we're going to talk about that stone here in a minute, but he uses a plummet, a plumb bob. Anybody know what a plumb bob? Anybody ever use a plumb bob before? They can take, you can take a plumb bob, and you can take it, and it hangs on a string. And those that aren't familiar with what a plumb bob is, it's a weight. It's a certain weight that hangs on a string, and usually it's a center cut out of the plumb bob. I meant to try to bring one in, but it's a weight that hangs, and it's usually got a point on the end, and you put a string. You can put a string up a mile if you wanted to, as long as the wind doesn't affect it. And that plumb bob can go down, and it will be a perfect parallel line straight up and down from that point to this point, perfectly square. There's no adjustment to it. There's nothing. It's perfect. So you don't put a dot there where the string is, where you place it, and that dot down here where that plumb bob, it's a perfect straight line. And he says here in verse 17, I will lay line, righteousness to the plummet. It's perfect. But tell you what, we're living in a world today. It's so out of whack. It is so out of whack. It is so messed up. And saints, what scares me a lot of times is, I'm not saying it will, it can, it will happen. Not sometimes can, but it will. It affects us in such a way we become a little numb or acceptable of certain things just because that's the way life is. It is a mess today. I don't need to go in all the details. Most of us know exactly what I'm speaking about. The Bible says there will come a time where people will call the right things wrong and wrong things right. We are there today. Things that are in the Word of God, things that are not even in the Word of God that are morally correct. I said something about fathers today. Now they're learning that it is important to have a father figure in half because our country and things are messed up. But people that are morally correct, things that are morally correct, they're saying, they're telling you and I they're wrong, and we're wrong for doing those things. It's a mess. But God says there's going to come a day where I'm going to lay righteousness and it's going to be perfect. He's not going to deviate from one side to the other, to the left, to the right, forward, or backward. Judgment also I lay to the line, righteous to the plummet, and the hail. You know what hail is? It's frozen water. You know what water is? Water is the Word of God, the truth.
You ever see some pictures sometimes? You know, we get hail around here. We don't really have too much, thank the Lord. I'm glad we don't. We get a little hail maybe the size of your thumb. That can be a little concerning sometimes. I've seen people, they say hail the size of softballs. And you see them hitting cars and busting windows and things. You know what hail does? It damages things. Well, let me tell you what God's word will do. It will damage the life of people because they're not living to that plumb bob. They're not living to that perfect structure that God had. Well, I'm deviating a little bit. Well, the hail, the word of God is going to hurt. It's going to come to a place where it's going to destroy. The hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. Oh, well, this is what's right today. God says, I'll sweep that right away. And the waters shall overflow the hiding places. Jesus says in Matthew, all that to bring my main thought. Jesus said in Matthew, there's a stone that the builders rejected. There's a stone that the chief priests, the Pharisees, the elders rejected. And sadly today, there's a stone that many ministers have rejected. That chief cornerstone. That center stone. You know, they use cornerstones in building. Let me read to you this definition. I read this week, and most of the time I take a picture of the definition so I don't have to go looking for it, and I didn't this week, and I couldn't find the word, the terminology that I was wanting again. I had to search for it this morning. Did take a picture this time, but a cornerstone. A cornerstone or a foundation stone or a setting stone is the first stone set in a construction of masonry foundation. Now, that's pretty common, but here's the definition part that I wanted to get out of it. I'm going to read that one more time and go on. A cornerstone, a foundation stone, or a setting stone is the very first stone set and the construction of a masonry foundation. And listen to the second part. All other stones will be set in reference to this stone. Everything else will be set in reference to Jesus Christ. Everything. And if you don't line up with Jesus Christ perfectly, the way He desires you, not the way I say, not the way somebody else said, but the way Christ shows you in your life, if you don't line up to that, you're not going to be a part of the building. All stone. He says there, all other stones will be set in reference to this. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. That church that I'm going to build, you're going to line up with me. You want to get way off in the distance here, way off in the distance there, go ahead, you're welcome to, but you're not going to make heaven. Only those that are set in that cornerstone. Anybody ever use a laser before? They use them a lot now for building. If I remember correctly, some years back when we redid all the work in here and had carpet put in and all these pews removed, we had a mess. And we put all these pews back, and they weren't screwed down like they are now. And they started to twist a little bit. Somebody'd sit in them and move. Oh, all right. If I remember right, I believe Brother Stotler and Sister Jerry, Brother Stotler came up here. And if I remember correctly, he let a laser right here on this front pew. And he turned it on. And it drew a straight, perfect line all the way down through there. He lined all them pews up from that front pew. That front pew and this front pew on this side, they were the cornerstones for the rest of the pews. When he put that laser right on the edge there, and he lined that all up through there, and he lined that all up, all those pews from this first one back is set in reference to this very first stone. You know, our very first pew here. Now sometimes, you know, I could sit in there and I can kind of look down through there and say, yeah, this way a little bit. Let me tell you what, when you have a laser, when you have a plummet there, so to speak, it's perfect. You're not deviating. Now, I know there's some deviation from mankind in that way. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about mankind being perfect. Christ is perfect, and He'll help us line up with the chief cornerstone. But Christ is that cornerstone. And as we mentioned there, the chief priests and the elders and the Pharisees, all they have, and as Jesus said in Matthew there back here, we read, Jesus says they have rejected that cornerstone. There are many, many people out there, religious people, they have rejected the cornerstone. Why? Because they don't want to line up in accordance with Him. I want to do my thing. I can make heaven my way. I can do things my way and make heaven. You'll line up with Jesus Christ, so you'll find a place in hell. That's true. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, picking up in verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto the holy temple in the Lord, and whom ye also are building together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Verse 20, he says that, and built upon the foundation of the apostles. Now the apostles and the prophets, they were building on something. And he says they built on Jesus Christ Himself. They didn't preach their own thing. We don't preach whatever we want to preach. I'm not given freedom by the Spirit of God to preach whatever I desire. If there's things in the Word of God that may I not understand, then the Word of God, then the Spirit of God allows me to leave it alone. Not to try to explain something I may not understand or may not have a full comprehension of. We don't make up our own Bible. We don't just make up things. We preach Jesus Christ. And in verse 22, in whom all the building fitly framed together. Paul said Jesus Christ Himself is the chief cornerstone. In verse 21, we just read, all the building fitly framed together. You ever put something together? How many of you ever put a puzzle together sometimes? Or put something together? Don't have any odd thing. But sometimes you get something, you buy something, and it has to be put together, and it snaps together. You know, sometimes you try to get it together, and it just, you're like, don't go. But when you put it together, you go, click, and you hear that type of snap. This piece and this piece was made at the factory to go together. This piece and this piece wasn't made in the factory to go together with a piece over here. These two were made to go together. And when they go together perfectly, snap, they go together. This one goes together. That one goes together. I was preaching, Brother Mark must have listened to it online about the Legos. And I told you a couple weeks ago, my wife bought me a Lego kit of the Bigfoot. And I think it was, I forget how many pages, almost 600 pieces. I'm thinking, I don't know why, but anyway, here we go. So as I started putting that together, and then if they didn't snap together right, something was wrong. And it was me trying to put something that didn't belong where it didn't belong. But when it was done, I was amazed. I was just amazed. These people that build Legos is amazing. I think I've seen something that where they built a full-size car, I think, out of Legos. Down Disney World or whatever, they get dinosaurs and things, or Lego dinosaurs and things. They build huge things. I'm like, and that ain't me. Linda puts puzzles together. My mom and dad used to put puzzles together. I don't want to do them. Drives me crazy to try to find one little piece that goes in one little spot. But anyway. But God says here, He says that the whole building fitly framed together.
Amen.
When God does things, you know what happens? It flows. It fits well. There's no hardship here. Division over here. Separation over there. I don't speak to that person over that state, or this person down to that state, or this person in that place. God says it flows. It works together. It works perfectly in harmony as Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never avoided anyone. He was kind. They accused Him for eating with sinners. They accused Him for being in association with a prostitute. And I can say that for all of us. We need to be careful. Help us, Lord. I know we need to be safe out there, and there's some things we need to be cautious with. I understand that. But there should not be any animosity towards us, towards someone else, because Jesus didn't have. He goes, if you want to build be in my church, you're going to line up with the chief cornerstone and have that harmony with Christ and have that harmony with someone else. Now that doesn't mean, we put two pieces together. I can't force it. I can't take, you remember as a child, they had them little toys and you had a triangle, a square, and a round hole. You had three pieces. You put them all in there. And you remember the children, they tried to put that round one in that triangle and you just, it wouldn't work. Might even give you a hammer. You could force it. You could probably get it in there. But it's forcing it to go in there. But when it goes in there, I had something the other week. I had not getting too details here because most of you wouldn't understand. I had a torque converter. And there was a gear that goes on that torque converter. And something had happened to the torque converter. And so when I had to look at it, I took the gear. And that gear is supposed to go, boop, just drop right over top of it. It wouldn't. I took a hammer and I tapped it down and tried to work it, tried to clean the hub up and everything. It wouldn't. I got another torque converter, took that same gear, boop, it dropped right over perfectly. It fit like it's supposed to. Jesus says, I'm the chief cornerstone. I'm going to build my church, and it's going to fit, frame together. When things fit together, they work, they flow. A cornerstone, a chief cornerstone, harmony. You know, my years, of course, being a mechanic, like to deal with cars. Many years ago, you used to build an engine or whatever. You got to drop the distributor in there. How many of you have dropped the distributor in there 180 degrees out? Looks right. Drop it in there. Put everything together. Nothing. It's popping and spitting and kicking through the carburetor, all kinds. You pull it out. You turn it 180 degrees and drop it in there. Now, you know what? It may start, but it might still miss a little bit. Just got the engine vibrate. All you do is just turn that just ever so slightly. And that engine will smooth out. You know, God wants the same thing. Some people are 180 out, and it causes problems. Brother Davis used to have that little saying, I always did like it. You want to go to heaven? What do? You turn right, and you go straight. Turn yourself around and get going with Jesus Christ and help. And Jesus Christ will help us to fine tune things to where we run smooth. We're fitly framing in the church of God. Some people, the Bible lets us know, some people, and we think about the Pharisees and the elders and the priests and all that and all those things. There are some people. In some churches, some ministers, I mentioned there's some of them, they think they need to have people line up with them or have the purpose or the desire to line up with everyone or to have everyone line up with them. Some people do that. These Pharisees, these chief priests, and these elders, they did that. We want people to come to us. We want people to look at us. There's too many times ministers and pastors and churches out there have gotten to a place where we want people to line up with us regardless of what the Word of God says. Saints, just because we're in a church or people in a church, it doesn't mean to mean we need to just be dumb and follow everything the minister says. We need to study the Word ourselves. We need to know the Word ourselves. And if someone is preaching to you false messages, you need to really be paying attention. You need to be aware of that. And if it needs to be, you need to ask the Lord to help you. You might need to run from that. Too many people, as I said earlier in the beginning of my message, thinking about the beginning of my message, sometimes when the Pharisees and the chief priests, they got authority, they got popularity, they got power. Sometimes people get power and they lose their humility. And they lose their humbleness with God. And then they start taking authority and saying, I'm going to make some rules and regulations. I'm going to try to set somebody straight. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes it can be the smallest amount of authority people can give. I can say to someone, I want you to be the musical, whoever, the person in charge of the music industry. And they might like it. They can play the piano. They can play the organ. They can play guitar. They can play instruments. And they get there. And in time, they get puffed up. And they fall away from the things of God. I say, well, I want you to be the janitor. I got a position. I appreciate Brother John and Darlene coming in. When they told me when they first came in here, they said they came from a church, and that's what they were. That's what that church was. Titleships. I've never heard it before until they told me that. People desire titleships. People go and be ordained minister. Never have they ever preached or been behind a pulpit. They want to be the choir director or the Sunday school student, whoever. And they get puffed up. And they think they need to set the line. They need to set the plummet. And they need to be that cornerstone. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 3, why worry about the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and consider not the mote, the beam that is in thine own eye? Over in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it talks about being the love chapter. In the very, very first verse, I didn't write it down. I'm going to read it to you quickly. I'm quoted since I'm just trying to quote it. But the very first verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I don't have love, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. We can get puffed up. We can get puffed up. You know, on more than one occasion, the Spirit of God has told me to keep silent when given counsel sometimes. Sometimes I'd have to give counsel or talk to somebody, and the Spirit of God said, you need to be quiet. Sometimes I didn't understand. Just be quiet. Because some people cannot take or will not take counsel. Some people want to deviate from that chief cornerstone. They want to, I see the cornerstone, but I want to do it my way a little bit. And they get in trouble. And God's told me from time to time, you need to be quiet. Timothy tells us some people won't endure sound doctrine. Some people want to be like James and John. I always thought, I said, Lord, help us. Remember the time when James and John, they came to Jesus? They said, Jesus, there's some men over there working. They won't work with us. Remember what they asked Jesus? They stepped away from the three cornerstone. They had some authority. They had done. God has used them. Christ used them. And they got a little puffed up. There's some men over there. They won't work with us. You want us to rain down fire on them? Jesus says, you don't know what spirit you're of. You leave them alone. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, picking up in verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. And as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. This same rock, this same cornerstone, this same precious stone that Christ made, that God made, this chief cornerstone, he says here in these verses of Scripture, in verse 32 there, he goes, for it shall be a stumbling stone. We read to you back here in Matthew. I didn't make comment of it. I'll go back real quick just to give it to you real quickly. But over there, back here in Matthew, when Jesus was dealing with them, find it in Matthew, that chapter, that verses I read, verse 44. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. We need to be broken. We're not saved. We need to be broken. We need to fall upon Jesus Christ. He says, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him into powder. We don't want this stone to fall upon us because it'll destroy us. And he says here over in Romans here, he says in verse 32, he says it shall be a stumbling stone. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, it says, we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, it's a stumbling block.
Verse 33, as it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense." You know how much this is an offense to people today? The Word of God. It's an offense to people. Let's have the Lord's Prayer in school. No, let's not do that. It's an offense to people. Let's have the Ten Commandments hanging in our courtrooms. No, it's an offense to people. Let's acknowledge some things in our stadiums, our football stadiums and baseball stadiums. No, it's an offense to people. The things of God, he says this will become a stumbling stone. And as people will stumble over the things of Christ and not follow the chief cornerstone, and he says here in that verse that that stone will crush you in time. Jesus is an offense to many people. Sometimes people want to go to heaven, but they won't line up with the cornerstone. I want to go to heaven, but I want to do things my way. That's something that has grinded to me for over the years. There are so many people that think I can make heaven their home. You know, I seen a little thing where a man was teaching. He says, "Have you ever heard about the people that may commit suicide? They can go to heaven." Well, that caught my attention to listen to what he had to say, what kind of crazy concoction he was going to bring up. And he brought verses of Scripture to where, yes, if you commit suicide and you kill yourself, that you're going to die and go where Jesus Christ is. He goes, "That says that." He goes, "But when we get saved," he goes, "when you repent from sin," and then I knew where he was going. I never listened to the rest of what he said because I knew where he was off, but I was wanting to see how he got to that point. But see, some people there's a chief cornerstone. There's a teaching what Christ says. But some people will hear something else. I've said it many times. Songs. People will follow a song. That song I always make comment. "A Father's Love," I think, is the title of the song. Boy, he gets in trouble in school. He comes home. He's sitting there on his father's knee figuring he's going to get a whipping. And he says, "Son, you don't know about a father. Let me tell you about a father's love." Goes through his life. He dies and makes heaven. Or he's standing there at the judgment bar. And he says, "If they knew," this is the song title, "if they knew half the things I've done, they won't let me in." Then I hear a voice say, "Son, let me tell you about a father's love." People will follow that song before they'll follow the chief cornerstone. What a sad thing it is. God says, "I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone." And every, like I say, I like that definition there. "And all other stones will be set in reference to this one stone." Paul said one time, "Follow me as I follow Christ." I need to keep Christ first and follow Christ by the grace of God. May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
Let's turn to page 158. 158. Lord, thou
and eyes from in the sky. Help me to make a complete sacrifice. I gave up myself and whatever I know. Now only I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter.
Wish each one of